And good morning. You're tuned into KBBI Homer AM 890. The time is 9:06, and it is time for the COVID brief. Kathleen is out this week, and we will have a guest host, Jay Barrett, our news director here at KBBI, and connecting you now. Jay, good morning.
Well, good morning. It is the COVID-19 brief. We've got Dorotha Ferraro here, Rachel Tussey from the city, and Lauren Carroll from the state. Good morning to all of you. Thanks for coming in this morning virtually. As we meet via Zoom and on the radio. I think I'm going to start with you, Nurse Lauren, about the report from the state last night that 96 employees of the Ocean Beauty Icicle plant in Seward were came a positive, and they sort of stumbled upon it, really. What could you tell us about that?
Yeah. Hi, Jay. Good morning. You're loud and clear. The folks over in Seward are facing quite a challenge. I recently heard Joe McLaughlin, the chief epidemiologist for the state of Alaska, mention that there are several outbreaks. I think there's about three outbreaks occurring statewide throughout seafood processing plants. That continues to be a real big and important challenge for communities, including all the partners. So OBI is the particular company that operates over there in Seward in that particular seafood processing plant. Yep, you're right. That's what I'm hearing. 96 employees tested positive, and that's out of about 262 tests that were done at the plant in response to that initial positive. That person that initially tested positive was seeking medical care at Providence Seward Medical Center for unrelated causes. And so that was kind of the flag or the canary that led that team of cross-sector partners to do that testing.
Yeah, and it was sort of, from what I understand from the state's press release, the first individual, patient one, I guess, went to Providence Seward, had a test, a COVID test just to be seen there, it appears. And then they found out he was positive, he or she. And then when they decided to test the whole plant, over a third of them are infected. They've been sent to Anchorage now already.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I'm hearing too. So that's kind of what, in the world of population-focused healthcare, what we call a good catch. You know, the folks over in Seward doing those pre-procedure screenings is what's connecting these folks not only to the healthcare they need, but also their ability to work together to prevent further transmission in that community and surrounding communities too.
Yeah, and apparently 11 employees are Seward residents, and they're not sequestered there on the in the bunkhouse at the cannery.
Yeah, that's a good point. If you're checking out the dashboard, you might see that Seward is listed as having 47 cases. And kind of the folks that are real keen on looking at the dashboard will probably have a couple questions like, what's the deal? You just told me 96 employees tested positive, but when I look at the raw data behind the dashboard, there's 47. And here's the scoop, is mainly because we have to decide how to report on the numbers. It's a real complicated deal, but we're reporting on numbers based on residency. So a lot of folks that help us out in the state of Alaska that work in the seafood industry come from outside of Alaska. And so those cases are, a lot of them are counted as non-residents. And it's probably a good time for me to say good job to OBI, because these folks tested their employees before entry into Alaska. And then all their folks went into quarantine before working, and they received two tests during quarantine too. So good job to those folks. So yeah. Kind of the implication here is it's suggested that perhaps this employee got community transmission after all that entry into Alaska. So that process, it's indicative that that process worked really well.
Mm-hmm. And coincidentally, the American Seafoods factory trawler that had 80 some 86, I think, 82, infected, pulled into Seward yesterday or this week as well, and to offload its infected employees.
Wow. I'm actually out of the loop on that, but guaranteed the public health nurses in Kenai who cover public health nursing services for Seward are in the loop. And just a bit of history about that is we actually used to have a public health center in Seward. It was there for a long time, and it had a public health nurse, three, and one support staff. But that got erased from the map in FY15 at the beginning of budget reductions in relation to state budget crisis.
Wow. It's interesting to think that there are people here on the peninsula whose parents had to go to Seward to deliver them because there weren't any hospitals anywhere else except for Seward back 70 years ago or so.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. You know, do you have anything more to say about the OBI situation in Seward?
Just another comment about a good job to OBI for protecting its employees. And I think a big part of that is their openness and willingness to work with DHSS and Division of Public Health, the City of Seward, and the local community health center, and also working with the municipality of Anchorage Health Department. And it's kind of those connections and relationships that point towards and cause positive outcomes. So good job to those teams over there.
One of the reasons that went smoothly as possible over in Seward is pre-planning. And I encourage listeners to connect with your employer, or if you are an employer, think about what your plan is for if one of your employees or you test positive, because it's so much easier to say, I got a plan for this, and pull out the plan and activate it. And now's the time to get that in order and make sure that all of your employees and staff know what that plan is and where it is.
Excellent. Dorotha, can I turn to you, and maybe we can talk about the testing numbers? We went through several weeks of very low numbers. I recall one email I got from you said, zero test today, positives today locally. And Homer has been not at the top like we were for several weeks there, except for Anchorage, of positive cases. And I'm just hoping for an update on you on the trends you're seeing.
You bet. Thank you, Jay. And it is true that we've slowed down a bit with our positive cases in the month of July as compared to June. June, we were really doing a lot of testing and seeing a higher positivity rate. Where the numbers stand right now, 5,673 test swabs have been processed by South Peninsula Hospital. 5,673 of those, 5,483 are negative, 91 positive, and 99 are pending. You know, in a way, Jay, it can be a numbers game. So as more testing happens, certainly there's that theory of you might have more positives or a higher number of positives, but it might not change the rate. So from the world of testing, that is one of the really great mitigation strategies, because the more you know, the more a person knows they have it, the less they're bound to spread it, because then they realize that they have the virus. So today, out on the spit, we are doing what we call pop-up testing, and it's just a little test site that'll be out on the spit from 12 till 6 this evening. And that site will do no-charge COVID-19 testing, and that's for any person who's in critical infrastructure or essential services, fisheries. They've had recent travel out of state. They have tickets to travel out of state within the next few days. They have known exposure to a confirmed positive. They have any COVID-like symptom. And I want to talk for a second about COVID-like symptoms, because all it takes is one. And the list is long: cough, fatigue, fever, chills, difficulty breathing, headache, muscle or joint aches, nausea, rash, diarrhea, decreased sense of smell or taste, runny nose, sore throat, increased phlegm, or a sudden onset of any new or unexplained symptom. And the reason I bring up symptoms is we actually have had in the last week had one symptom, and it was the unusual one of, oh, I kind of lost my sense of smell overnight. And that was enough to prompt getting tested, and their test came up positive. So I just really encourage people to take their symptoms seriously and listen to these tiny little hints that might lead you to test. It's free. It's easy now too. I mean, we're using a different type of testing, so we're not having to put the swab so far back into a person's nasal cavity, and it really is not painful or even discomfortable at all. So I encourage people to take advantage of this testing capacity while we have it and while it's available.
You know, I can attest to that, Dorotha. A month ago, I went and got a test up at in your parking lot there, and I was prepared for the long Q-tip, you know, the one that goes back behind your eyeballs. But no, it was right around the front of the nose. It was simple and easy, and I was very impressed. The test came back like a day and a half later. So
The test turnaround is really, it changes all the time. So I don't want to, I'm glad yours came back quickly. It really varies based on what's happening at the state lab. So it's really an unknown. It can take up to 5 days or so as well. But if you can't make it out there today and you fell into one of those groups, come to the hospital when it's more convenient for you. We're open at the hospital parking lot from 10 a.m. until 8 p.m. And if you do know you're coming, I encourage you to call in advance and just do a quick registration over the phone, because it will speed things up for you when you're here. And that phone number is 235-0235.
You know, and that process was painless too, over the phone, set it all up, showed up, told them who I was, you know, and they had everything ready. It was in and out. It was great.
Thanks. And I want to do a quick follow-up on what you and Lauren were talking about. One of the reasons that went smoothly as possible over in Seward is pre-planning. And I encourage listeners to connect with your employer, or if you are an employer, think about what your plan is for if one of your employees or you test positive, because it's so much easier to say, I got a plan for this, and pull out the plan and activate it. And now's the time to get that in order and make sure that all of your employees and staff know what that plan is and where it is.
Yes, thank you for that. You know, it does seem that those state-approved workforce and community protection plans seem to be working at fish processing plants around the state. Over in Dillingham, they've had positives, and those folks, you know, they're sequestered. They're not around town at all. They're at the plant and other places. So I think that's working, and I'm pretty happy about that.
Good. So your question to me was about positive rate, and I will say that you'll see in today's statewide press release that we did have two positives detected yesterday through in the hospital testing. So you'll see that reported today. And a reminder that our testing is not the only testing where a Southern Peninsula resident might get tested. So those numbers don't always align.
Right, right. SVT health and wellness test as well. Let's see. Rachel, let's turn to you. I was curious, you know, at the beginning of all this COVID stuff, we heard a lot about the Emergency Operations Center and what things were happening day to day there. I'm curious now, 4 months later here, what's it like in the EOC on a day to day basis? What's keeping folks busy there?
Yeah. Good morning, Jay. So the city's Emergency Operations Center is currently more in more of a maintenance mode. Initially in March, you know, there was a huge amount of startup work, and now we're keeping that work going. A day in life as an EOC member includes attending meetings with local and state partners. We're tracking and managing records for FEMA. We're handling CARES funding coming in from the federal and state governments for distribution. We're keeping up with messaging and public communication, and we're staying on top of supplies that we and local partners need. What's important, though, is that the goals and objectives for our response to this incident haven't really changed much in the past few months. We're staying on top of changing the mandates. So as the state rolls out, you know, changes to the mandates, the messaging, we're trying to stay on top of that, make sure that messaging gets out to the locals and how that affects Homer specifically. We're remaining vigilant on threats of virus spread. So, you know, as Dorotha and Lauren have already spoken about, you know, keeping a plan, have it ready, making sure that you're communicating that with your your people in your life, your household, and your coworkers and your worker, and then adjusting how we operate during the summer. And we're, you know, revising our reopening plans in a way that's best for the public and city employees. So there's still a lot of stuff going on in the background, even if those goals and objectives are not really fluctuating as much as they did at the very beginning.
Oh, okay. Sure. You know, I've got a feeling that there's going to be another rush on masks here pretty soon. The president came out over the weekend saying, you know, folks want to wear them, they should. What's the local mask supply like?
Yeah, there has been a big push for face masks, and we are doing good locally. A little background, the state of Alaska put an order into the federal government for 1 million plain face masks, and that was approved. The company that FEMA ordered them from has been shipping them directly to every community that put a resource request in with the state, and Homer's request just came in at the beginning of this week. So our fire department washed and bagged hundreds of masks and distributed them to Homer Sawn Cycle, Skiff Chicks, and Scott's Pharmacy. So to the public, if you need a mask, go to one of those three locations and pick one up while supplies last. another batch of face masks are scheduled to come in from the state that have the Big Dipper printed on them. This is part of the state's Mask Up Alaska campaign, and it's as a way to incentivize wearing a mask. So the state just notified PIOs yesterday that the masks were back from the printers, and they'd be shipping them out now to the communities who requested them. So again, once we get that batch, we will also be dropping them off at those local distribution points so the community can come and grab one if they'd like.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Oh, I was like, yeah. And I would like to add to that, part of that, the state's Mask Up Alaska campaign is that if you're interested, DHSS has been requesting photos and videos of Alaskans from around the state wearing their mask, you know, as part of their messaging campaign. So, you know, you can always go to their website, make contact, or go to their Facebook page, and people can submit photos or videos, you know, trying to get the word out.
That's great. You know, masks are going to become, fashion, style, that's the word I'm looking for. Fashion statements is the word I'm looking for. They're gonna become fashion statements.
I know a few people that have a couple of them, you know, and they vary, you know, because, you know, once you're done with that cloth face mask, you want to wash it. So they'll have a few on hand that are like color coordinated with outfits.
Yeah. Let me ask you, Rachel, about the city's SBIRG program. That's the small business. Why don't you tell us what SBIRG stands for?
Small Business Economy Recovery Grant Program. So also known as the SBIRG program. So that's been rolled out since June 30th. And so far, we received 111 total applications. 164 have been approved. And a total of $492,000 in grants has been awarded so far. We have heard feedback from local businesses and have experienced some challenges, you know, so some of those people who may not have been awarded or issues that had come up. We always encourage businesses to apply regardless of if they think they may be eligible or not, just in case. And you can always go to the City of Homer's website, right at the very, on the main webpage, there's a button for the SBIRG program. All of the eligibility requirements are laid out there. But this Monday, July 27th, City Council has two resolutions on the agenda to amend the SBIRG program to address some of those issues that have come up. So one is to clarify the eligibility requirements related to business operation within the city of Homer as it relates to sales tax collection with the Kenai Peninsula Borough, and it establishes an appeals process. So what that means is that some of those people who may have ran into issues being eligible due to how sales tax is collected, they may be eligible in the future, but we need to also have an appeals process in place to make sure that if they are eligible before, we can maybe just reconsider their application again so they don't have to reapply. So there's a couple of things. A lot of it is still up in the air, and a lot of it is still subject to change. Like I said, City Council is going to be reviewing that at their Monday meeting. So that will be any kind of changes that come about will be applied to the website and updated accordingly.
And you're suggesting folks apply, just go ahead and apply and sort it out after they apply.
Right. Yeah. We want as many people who are affected by COVID to apply. You know, we've got these CARES funds from the government, and we want to make sure that people who are affected are taken care of.
Excellent. We've only got a couple of minutes left. I know all three of you have got other meetings you've got to get to. Let me ask you, Dorotha, though, about the one you mentioned that you're heading to. It's Operation Warp Speed. This is the president's vaccination plan. And tell us about the meeting that you're heading to as soon as you're done here.
Thanks. So this is a state of Alaska sponsored kind of a planning conversation. And it is the first step towards providing COVID-19 vaccines to Alaskans. And the goal of this is to start a planning process statewide that will coincide with all the local training and exercises to provide timely and thorough distribution of a future vaccine for COVID-19. So just like we talked about businesses having a plan, healthcare certainly has to have a plan on all of the different parts of COVID response, and vaccinations is certainly one. We're lucky that public health in our community has been very much advocating over the years, exercising and planning. And it was only, Lauren, how long ago did we do the flu vaccine community pod point of dispensing? When was that?
You know, that cross-sector community plan was exercised on December 8th, 2018.
Right. So barely over a year ago. So we have a lot of very recent community memory on how to do a community-wide vaccination event. And so I think we're ahead of the game. I think I'll hear on this call some communities that maybe aren't so lucky, but we've really recently exercised how to do that. And we'll just have to apply the specifics to this situation.
Excellent. Anything else any of you'd like to add before we wrap it up here? Lauren, did you have something?
Yeah, sure thing. The masks, I just want to highlight that's one really important community mitigation measure. And in addition to that, you know, CDC outlines some other potential community mitigation measures on their website, and they kind of split it up into kind of like about four or five different areas. And there's 34 other potential community mitigation measures listed there. So the point here being is that, you know, on Southern Kenai Peninsula, we've got over 90 cases so far known and reported. And, you know, roughly half of those known cases are still active. So maybe consider checking out those other community mitigation measures in addition to masks online, and have a conversation with your family and friends about maybe answer the question, what else can we do to prevent the transmission of COVID from one host to the next?
Excellent. Rachel, do you have any parting words?
Yeah, I just want to, there was one last thing I wanted to talk about, and that was voting. So state primary election day is August 18th, and absentee in-person voting for that, for the primaries, starts Monday, August 6th. And so I just really want to let everybody know that it's going to be a little bit different this year, who like to vote in person or vote absentee in person. And it's just important for them to understand what they need to do to vote in a COVID safe way. And so at the polling places, there will be social distancing guidelines And just voters entering City Hall are going to be requested to wear a mask that covers their nose and mouth, and there will be masks available on site if you need one. To accommodate social distancing, there will be a limited number of people allowed in the City Council chambers in the lobby. And then a covered area will be available outside for people to wait in line. You can still vote by mail or receive your ballot by electronic transmission as usual. And if you have any questions on that, you can reach out to the city clerk's office, or you could also contact the Division of Elections with the state.
Oh, that's excellent. We'll have to do a story on that too here pretty soon. Dorotha, any last words?
Yeah, I would just say that last night the governor and Dr. Zink and others shared some graphs and charts and trends that really showed the increase of positivity growing rapidly and exponentially. Thank you. And the bottom line is that, like, it's up to us. It's not up to government or other people. Like, if you want to see different results, then we all just have to do different actions. If we keep doing the same thing over and over, then we cannot expect different results. So we've got the power in our hands. We are Alaskan citizens and residents. We're all moving around. We're all crossing zip code borders right now. And because it's summer and we're enjoying a great summer, but it's really up to us to, you know, up our actions, up our mitigation efforts so that we can change that that epi curve in Alaska. Thanks.
Excellent. Good words to end on there, Dorotha. Thank you very much. We've had Dorotha Ferraro, Rachel Tussey, and Lauren Carroll for the COVID brief today. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jay Barrett. And at this point, I'm going to sign off and send it back to Josh in the studio.